Then also for those who didn't attend the last class, you miss out the Krishnamurti code. They are all here. All the three codes. Last Thursday, I think we only distributed the first code. The other two codes was not in printed form. I sent it out to my Kayanivita email. So there are still balance of about, I think about 10 copies. Those who need it or don't have, you can collect on your way out. Start the puja now. So tonight, who is coming forward to light the candle and the incense? let Suyan nominate.
Tiny, that's Andrian.
Yeah. Andrian and? So you can light the candle and the incense. Then the rest of us can stand and get ready for the puja offering. Pass it on. Learn how to rejoice, sadhu. Then maintain attentiveness and develop the mindfulness as you observe and perform the puja. This is to develop wholesomeness, mindfulness, faith and confidence. Sadhu.
Sad.
sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. You all can be seated. Then we can have our puja. Okay, compose your mind, to develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then we will pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha while we chant the salutation to the Triple Gem. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you all can be seated, then turn to page 4 of the chanting book. We will start off with the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana ramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena Dipena tamadang sena Tilopadipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dupena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajjama muttamang Vanna ganda guno petang เอตังกสุมาสันตตินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาเดสารโรเหปูเจมิบดังกสุเมนาเนนาเนนามเทนาเชโหทุโมคังปุพังมิลายัตติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโอตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาสิตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหัตตุมุตตมัง10 to page 18 we will do the aspiration. We are understanding the significance of all this offering.Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causing conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool waterLead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition possible. Offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body.So that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya,be further strengthened until they become balanced, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.Okay, we will get ready to pay respect to Drupa Jam. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. So let us maintain body and mind in a relaxed state so that it's conducive for meditation. Oh, is it? Oh, okay. So somebody first time here. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. You pass her the blue book of this. There is this blue book thatwill allow you to understand all the meditation that you need to understand. You go back and slowly read through. You don't have to remember anything when I explain all this teaching because they are all in the that particular book. Most of it are there. Then later on, if you want to understand more, the other transcript book will also help you. then you really have affinity with the Dhamma, you want to understand more, you should get hold of that Heart Sutta short note. It's a very thick book. It's all free. Donated by Kalyanamitta through their Kalyanamitta funds. Okay, since there is somebody who is new, then I will explain a bit of what we do here. You see, we started off with puja offering. And this is a very good practice as recommended and advised by Lord Buddha. Puja is called devotional offering or practice that we do to develop the understanding of who the Buddha is, how special a being he is, and how wonderful a teaching that he has given to the world free. Then apart from that, through this puja, we can also develop the spiritual faculty to strengthen our mind so that it can understand spiritual teachings. The five spiritual faculties are in the whiteboard above here. They are Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. These are Palitam. So if you are new to Buddhism, the English translation are also there. Sada is faith, or confident in the Buddha and his teaching. And Virya is the spiritual zeal, the tenacity to walk this way after you understand who the Buddha is and how special a being he is, and how wonderful that teaching is, because it can bring about enlightenment here and now. It can transform your life from something that you don't understand into something that is very meaningful and very beautiful. Then the third one is sati, or mindfulness. This is the most important mind state that you have to develop. Sati, or mindfulness, is the silent mind before the knowing. It's just aware, silent. Then as you stabilize it, the fourth spiritual faculty, samadhi, will arise. Then when you have sati and samadhi, your mind is silent. It can see things as they are, where there is clarity. Then it can insight into phenomena to give rise to understanding, which they call wisdom, which is the last spiritual faculty. And with this five, the opposite five, which is called mental hindrance, they will cease to be. The mental hindrance are the next set of essential dhamma, opposite five. The English terms are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. So all these verses to be. So our puja can help us develop the first three spiritual faculty. When we recite, reflect, and contemplate on who the Buddha is, and how wonderful his teaching is, and how beautiful the enlightened disciples of the Buddhas are, this constitutes the triple gem. It will strengthen our faith. He will give us a lot of understanding of who he is. And that understanding will bring about a very strong, stable faith, which is not just belief, not blind faith. It's the faith born of understanding, born of true understanding and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then because of that spiritual faculty, it will drive you to cultivate, because you see the importance of this teaching. So that's why you arise Virya, the second spiritual faculty. Then just now when we start our puja, we rejoice. Sadhu, 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 rejoicing with all the wholesomeness, with all the generosity of all those who can partake in this puja offering. We rejoice with their sincerity, their faith, and their generosity. All this are very wholesome. Then as we rejoice, we also maintain awareness, mindfulness, heedfulness. Then we determine to develop this understanding. That's why from Sada Virya, it will bring about sati, mindfulness. You can cultivate it. Then when we pay respect, when we chant the salutation to the Triple Gem, we maintain mindfulness, body and mind as one. Then after that, as you receive the puja, you are mindful. You are silent, full of faith, sadhavirya, and you are able to maintain that posture. Standing, you maintain awareness. Then you are observant, attentive. So all of the offering and movement, the phenomena, physical, mental, and nature's phenomena, you can see them all. Then as you receive your hand movement, you are mindful. As you make offering, you are mindful. As you pass it on, you are mindful. Then as you turn or move, you maintain mindfulness. That's how the spiritual faculty comes to be. And puja has great effect on your spiritual faculty, and it will bring about a very strong foundation for cultivation to receive spiritual teaching, to understand spiritual teaching. So that is the first part you need to understand. Then after puja, we will start off with meditation. So this is the session where we will do the meditation. So now for those who already know how to meditate, we can off the light and they can start their meditation straight away. And for this new person, and also some who still need instruction, I will give you some simple instruction. Later on, you read the blue book, you will understand what we do. I will teach you a skillful means to try to train your mind not to be heedless, to bring about the ability to decondition your heedless thinking so that you can develop the silent mind to meditate. So I will teach you the mind sweeping method followed by metta. You just maintain a stable posture. You can sit cross-legged if you find it not too taxing on you. Otherwise, you can just sit on a stool or a chair or lean against a wall. Make sure you have a comfortable posture, a very natural posture which is relaxed, that can allow you to maintain mindfulness to develop the meditation. Then while in the sitting posture, you silence everything, body and mind, silent, relaxed. Then you maintain attention, attentiveness on your backbone. Make sure it's straight. Then after that, close your eye, maintain attention at your forehead. Just feel, don't think, just feel. If your mind can detect any tension, any stress within, you just silently relax, relax, and relax every part of the forehead muscle. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Relax, relax, and relax all of them. If there's any tension, any stress, just relax them. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Just feel, don't think. Each and every strand within your facial muscle, just feel and relax them all. Any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just silently relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then in order to help you relax further deep into it, you can just visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can radiate this radiant smile, there is joy. When there is joy, you are automatically relaxed. All of your facial muscles, they will relax because you have joy, you have happiness. Then after that, you can radiate love and metta following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, you must feel the body and mind, maintain attention, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness in your entire body and mind. Then may it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel your body and mind without any mental and physical suffering. Then may it too be free from all harm and danger. And may its mind state too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your heart. Then you can radiate this same metta to your loved ones. May all of your loved ones be well and happy, well and happy. Visualize them and radiate this metta to them and feel the well-being and happiness within their body and mind. Then may they also be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Radiate that love and metta to them. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate the same to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Dhamma friends of Kayanamitas, be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind stay still, be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can continue to radiate this metta. May all beings within the vicinity of Subangjaya, Selangor State, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and the whole planet, Mother Earth, and the solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and the whole of this universe, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be free from all enmity, all negativity. May they too be well and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm, more peaceful. You come back to your facial muscle. Then you just feel, don't think, feel. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder. Then you maintain attention at your chest area. You feel your chest area or your heart area. Just feel. You can detect any vibration or even your heartbeat. Then you just silence everything and stay there. Maintain attentiveness on whatever that is arising and passing away. You just silence and be with it. If you are new, your mindfulness has not developed. If you have not developed that sensitivity, then it's okay. You just feel your heart area like you feel your forehead. Then just relax into it. Wherever there is any tension, tightness or stress within, you just relax, relax and relax. Feel your whole chest area. Soothingly relax. Then you move this attention down to your stomach. Do the same. Feel and relax. No more thinking. Then you move it down to your stomach, abdomen, do the same, feel, relax, then buttock, feel, relax, and your leg, feel, relax every part. Then you can reverse this whole mind sweeping method from the leg, feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax, then your abdomen, feel, relax, stomach, do the same. Then back to chest area, silence everything and just feel. Then after that, you move up to your shoulder, feel, relax, hand, do the same, feel, relax, neck, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, feel, relax every part. Then your eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax. Then your forehead. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful, and you should be able to develop this meditation. The mind should be more calm, more quiet, and more peaceful because you just feel and relax, you never think. So this process will help you decondition your heedless thinking, bring about more mental quietness and peacefulness within your mind. Then after that, you can continue to train this mind so that this state of peace can be maintained longer and longer. This state of peace, the silence without thought, is mindfulness. So you have to stabilize this mindfulness. If you are familiar with any meditation training, normally they will give you an object of meditation to train your mind, to anchor your mind, to develop the stability of mindfulness. So you can use whatever skillful means that you have. If you don't have anything, you can use your breathing. The Buddha recommended Anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is mindfulness of this in and out breath. Just the silent mind aware of your in and out breath. So like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain attentiveness within your nostril, the front part. Then silence everything. Allow the breathing to go on normally or naturally. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. The moment you detect the breathing, the mind just follow. Mind and breathing as one without thought. That is mindfulness of the in-breath. Mind and breathing as one when you are breathing out. That is mindfulness of the out-breath. That's why this mindfulness of the in and out-breath is a very simple exercise. Every time the mind wanders off, you just bring it back. If you are patient enough, Anapanasati will stabilize. Then when you can train your mind to be peaceful, quiet, with Anapanasati, the breath to anchor the mind so that it does not wander off, it is not lost in thought, so that it does not become heedless. And when the mind is mindful of the in and out breath without thought, it will be very peaceful, it will be very quiet, it will be very silent and still. Then you will experience all of the good mind state. The first mind state that you may experience is piti. They call it the spiritual calmness, spiritual peace, or spiritual joy. Or sometimes it's like a type of rapture, spiritual rapture. You feel very good and you like to meditate because this is a very good mind state. Then as you continue to relax and maintain mindfulness, of this in and out breath, the breath will become long breath. Then you will experience another type of more refined peace, leading to what they call sukha. Sukha is a spiritual bliss, a much more refined state than piti. When you experience sukha, you will like to meditate because it's very blissful. Then you should continue to silence and relax deep into this mind state until even this sukha will disappear. then the mind becomes very, very quiet, extraordinarily quiet. Then the breathing, everything, from long breath, it will become short or subtle breathing, little or no breathing at all. When you reach that state, the Buddha called it Bhasati, the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. And this is the meditative mind. This is the mind state that you supposed to train your mind to develop. Then when it arises, you don't do anything after that. You just relax and silent everything and maintain that silence there. That type of mind is the mind that is in sati, that is in a meditative state of inner peace, inner quietness, inner tranquility and stillness. And that is the mind which can meditate. It's the meditative mind, is fully aware, silent. You just maintain that silence. Then you can stay at the object of meditation, which is your breathing. Even this subtle breathing will become very clear to you later on. The very slight movement within might become very clear to you. And during that time, your mind is already in sati. You have already developed the more refined mindfulness. So this mind can meditate. It can understand many things. All of sense or activity that arise from your forming mind, you understand. You use that mind to meditate. You just silent. Then wherever you locate this mind is very sensitive. It can detect many, many things, even your heartbeat or any vibration within your body and mind. Wherever you locate it, it will pick it up. You don't need a stethoscope like a doctor to maintain or feel your heartbeat. You just silent, relax, and aware. You locate anywhere, it will detect. So that is the meditative mind. So I will leave it to you to train your mind to develop this meditation so that it can be very calm, very peaceful, and very still within to develop wisdom and understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a living being. Then later on, you have to stabilize this trained mind so that you can use it to live life, so that you can use it to cultivate the daily mindfulness, so that you can be mindful and heedful in the midst of life, not only when you are meditating in the form of meditation. And that daily mindfulness is the real meditation. Okay, now I will stop the instruction. I will let you meditate on your own, and I will ring the bell after about 15 to 20 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Always remember, you are here to train your mind to develop this ability to be quiet, peaceful, and aware within. This is called heedfulness. So when you can bring forth this mind state that is trained to develop the meditation in the midst of life, which they call daily mindfulness, or sati sampajana, that is the real meditation. Okay, now turn to page 6, we will chant the invocation to the devas. I will read to you the English translation, then you will get Ingbi to chant the Pali. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and relays Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine or the teaching. This is the time to listen to the doctrine or the teaching. This is the time to listen to the doctrine or the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajas Sunantu Saggamok Kadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sukato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Risayokani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa bhagavato savakasangho Ahuneyo bahuneyo dakineyo Jalikaraneyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Give you be respected to Buddha. Bhutang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay. You all can be seated. Then we will continue with the second session. Yeah. Just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attentiveness. Yeah. Second session is reporting of meditation followed by Q&A, question and answer. You can ask whatever question that you may have regarding the meditation and the teaching. Also, the third part is how you can apply what you have learned here and the teaching to solve whatever problem you have in your daily life. So the real teaching is applicable to life. This teaching can help you resolve all of life problems. Whatever suffering you have this teaching. You need not suffer, the Buddha said. You can liberate your mind. You can become enlightened. Then you can live the beautiful life, the very meaningful and virtuous life of an enlightened being. Okay, do make use of the condition to report your meditation. Now I open it up to the floor. Anybody who wants to report, you put up your hand. Then we will pass the mic to you. Anybody? Don't worry, don't be shy. Anybody? Okay, you don't have, maybe I receive one WhatsApp on my Kayamita. We can go through this. Because by now, most of you would have got quite good understanding. So you should be able to actually read between the line when you receive any teaching or any whatever Dhamma that you receive. A lot of this type of teaching may appear to be like a lot of Dhamma, a lot of wonderful things. But by now, you should be able to see the difference. I received this from PG this afternoon. Those who are on the Maikayamita website, you would have it at 4:12 this afternoon. She sent me some Dhamma which she received from her friend. The title is The Caravan of Dhamma. It's a posting from a friend. I read to you. Today's world offers a vast assortment of sensual diversion and entertainment. People have come to equate this fleeting pleasure with happiness and pursue them with greater craving. And the greater the attachment to such pleasant experience, the greater the fear and insecurity about losing them. As the Buddha said, Kamato jayanti soko, kamato jayanti bajam, bayam. The English translation is, the Buddha said, from craving spring off or arises grief. Then from craving, again, it spring of all arises fear. Then the Dhamma continue. The diverse sensual entertainment available today have made people even more fearful. Then it say Vipassana helps one to see by direct personal experience of the fleeting nature of all worldly pleasure and how they inevitably lead to suffering by experience, direct personal experience. As long as one depends solely on the very limited faculty of intellect, it is impossible to properly understand Dhamma. Real wisdom can only be cultivated through the direct realization of the truth. Only such wisdom can give rise or can give true understanding and true happiness. So this summarizes the Dhamma that she received, the caravan of Dhamma. So a lot of people, you read this, like a lot of Dhamma, you appreciate a lot. Then I reply and say, PJ, above sound like a lot of Dhamma, but if you really analyze it, it doesn't have real penetrative understanding as yet. Anyway, it's okay for sharing, because the Pali word by Lord Buddha is good. That is, from craving springs grief, and from craving springs fear. But the penetrative understanding only arises when the cause of craving due to self-delusion or sakkaya-ditti is understood and penetrated. So that part is very, very important, but was not emphasized. But whatever it is, if you know the Dhamma, if you read through, you will understand. So let us have a simple discussion. What's your understanding? Don't be influenced by what I say. You read. Then you find out for yourself whether that Dhamma can make you understand the Dhamma, the true Dhamma or not. Is it penetrative or is it just words, beautiful words? Or not to say beautiful, maybe like the words have a lot of Dhamma, but not practical. And you cannot develop much understanding out of it. What is your understanding? Maybe some of you may have a different view, so that we can discuss this. Do you agree with what he said? Today's world offers a vast assortment of sensual diversion and entertainment. What do you think? Don't worry, no right or wrong. We just have discussion. Just speak from your heart, based on what you understand sincerely. Do you believe what he said to be true, that there is a lot of diversion and distraction? No? So most people would have agreed. But then when you penetrate the Dhamma, it's a different understanding. What is diversion? When your mind cannot understand, you think they distract you, they divert you. But like I always share with you, technology and civilization is here to stay, understand? Because we are evolving. The human race is evolving. You cannot blame the world. You cannot blame technology. You cannot blame internet. The living being, the form and mind that is subject to this, is very important. If it has the understanding, it is free. Like the lotus, from the mud it arises. There is no problem with the mud when the mind understands. But when the mind don't understand, this is like sunsiu, one-sided. Polish until it shines so that no dust can arise. So to them, these are all diversion. Even last time, I take refuge under Master Sun Hua. But when he used the analogy of the television, I don't agree with him. Those who follow Master Sun Hua, they will know. He said this is a monster. He said those who see TV too much, they get attached. Then they cannot cultivate. I mean, there is some truth in his statement. But the TV is a TV. That is what technology is all about. It can bring forth many, many what they call understanding, even cultivation. I actually use the TV to cultivate towards the later part of my cultivation. Like the Buddha said, he told Ananda, because somebody came and talked to Ananda, he said, my teacher teach this. He said, see no evil, hear no evil, think no evil, I'm at peace. Then I remember last night the WhatsApp somebody sent out. Then Sui under the way, get the monkey to close the eye, close the ear. And the mind, how to close the mind, I don't know. Then the Buddha reprimanded Ananda. He said, foolish one, when did I teach you like that? I never teach like that, he said, the Dhamma. I never teach you to avoid all these things. Of course, in the Noble Eightfold Path, the Middle Way, or the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the opening statement is to avoid the two extremes. Correct. Avoid doesn't mean you cannot confront. Avoid means like certain defilement. If you know that these are defilement, you should avoid. That is like the keeping your precept. Understand? You undertake the training rule not to break. Then you will naturally know how to avoid. But you don't have any aversion towards it. Understand? Any dislike towards it. Any negativity towards it. That's why he said you can see. You can have good food. You can eat, but no craving. You can see, but no reaction. No stirring of the mind. No delusion. That's why the world is the world. You must know their characteristics. They have this universal characteristic. If you are not deluded by it, then everything is Dhamma. That's not. Everything can teach you the Dhamma or the truth. That's why I always share your truth is anywhere, everywhere, in the midst of life and nature. Life itself is the meditation. Life itself is Dhamma. So if you understand that, you will not blame all these things. You will not have any negativity or negative perception towards all these things. Your mind is always at peace. It's whether you have that understanding or not. If you don't have, then all this like a problem. That's why when you read in between the lines, you realize a lot of this description, they contradict themselves. I read on and you understand. He said, today's world offers a vast assortment of sensual diversion and entertainment. People have come to equate this fleeting pleasure with happiness and pursue them with ever greater craving. What he's referring to is, he said, most people do that. Yeah. Which is, the Buddha said, the heedless are like that. So when you are heedless, you have not trained your mind, you are like that. So why must you have this negative perception of what is happening? Then he said, and the greater the attachment to such pleasure or sensual experience, the greater the fear and insecurity. Yeah. Initially, it's because of heedlessness they become that. But then if there is condition, because of what they do through heedlessness, they go through suffering, then the condition may arise for them to turn to Dhamma. So everything, if you do not perceive it with negativity, you just understand it, then it can turn around. And the worst part is, after he quote the Buddha, he say, as the Buddha say, kamato jayanti soko, kamato jayanti bayam. From craving arise fear. From craving arise sorrow and suffering. This is very true. Then he said, the diverse sensual entertainment available today have made people even more fearful. They are not more fearful, they are more deluded. They indulge and get themselves entangled more and more. Then only when suffering arises, then only there is fear, worry, anxiety. They are not fearful. Those who are heedless, some of them are very violent. They are very, what they call, authoritative, and they have a lot of egoic mind. And they are capable of doing a lot of all this negativity through their own delusion. Then he said, Vipassana help one to see by personal experience. You see the word? Contradict himself. Personal experience means there is a person who realizes or experiences it. So the word itself contradicts. The fleeting nature of worldly pleasure and how they inevitably lead to suffering, again, by experience. Direct personal experience. See, all this, they become words when you understand, but it contradicts itself. As long as one depends solely on the very limited faculty of the intellect, it is impossible to properly understand. Of course, he said Dhamma. Then real wisdom can only be cultivated, again the word, cultivated through direct realization of the truth. So these are the words people use. But if you are penetrated, you don't use this type of word. You will use it differently. You will explain it differently. Then he said, only such wisdom can give true understanding and true happiness. Yeah. It is not what is being phrased. When there is penetrative awakening through insight, or the direct seeing, the form and mind, when it awakens, is very different. And it described in a very different way. That's why later on, after I commented, I think two person respond and say, Bratio, Sadhu, he say, for your constant reminder to steer us on the right path. Then PG replied, ah, this is good. He said, thanks for pointing out, Sadhu. He said, yes, the self-delusion is still quite strong, as often reflected in my own thoughts and speech. The recent discussion on J. Krishnamurti's quote that the thinker, the experiencer, and the observer is not real, is not me, has yet to be realized. Then there is this smile, He said, will strive on to stabilize my meditation there on reflection and contemplation. Yeah. So I replied, I said, Sadhu, PJ. So when you come to develop the understanding, you just do, don't try to know. Don't even try to arise whatever Dhamma. You just develop the cultivation, the spiritual faculty. The faith, the sadhaviriya, sati. Then when your mind is in sati, the form of mind will understand what sati is. Then when it insight into phenomena, penetrate or awaken, through the silence, the form of mind will also understand. And when the mind understands, it's very clear. He no you, he no me. No more sakayatiti, no more self-delusion. And this one is at the top level. Even the egoic mind, that center, ceases to exist. Every thought that they arise, every perception that they arise, there is this wisdom called Yoniso Manasikara. Wise attention at the moment of sense experience is no more knowledge. The one that is thought-based leads to knowledge. And that one cannot transform. That one, towards the end, they will realize that form of mind still have problem and issues with life. It still believe there is a being inside there. Then later part, towards the later part of their life, there is still fear. There is still worry about this form going to die, getting old, getting sick, having to go through disease and all those things. Then the egoic mind, that thought is so strong, the center from which it arises is so strong, the I and the me. Every moment of perception is so real to them. So all this you will come to understand later on as you penetrate the Dhamma. The reason why I want to share this at this moment is because most of you have developed the cultivation. If you are attentive, if you are clear with your own understanding or realization, if you read, it's totally different now. And many of you can come to that realization, not a problem at all. Okay? So now I help you to have one already. Now it's your turn to respond. You can share your own views and opinion, no problem. There's no right, no wrong. We are here just to share our understanding. Or you can report your meditation, because whatever that arises is a condition for Dhamma to flow. So don't worry about your reporting and your question. Okay, now I open up again. Anybody wants to report their meditation or ask any question, you can just put up your hand and the mic will be there for you. Again, so quiet. Yes. Pass the mic over, Amy. Yes, brother. Brother Chana. Yeah, sadhu. Oh, you came last Thursday.
Yes,
I remember.
Yeah. I'm a very new beginner.
No problem. In fact, the new beginner easier to teach. It's a clean slate.
So I try to practice the regular mindfulness.
That one very important.
Yeah. And I find that the mindfulness of the physical part, the kaya no
pasana, kaya no pasana.
That part able to let me not think so much.
Oh, very good. Sadhu. Yes.
And as I practice the second part, the vedana.
Vedana.
Every time on my feeling. And every time I feel agitated. It's due to the contact of either hearing something or thinking of some bad thing.
Thinking, hearing, or seeing. Right. These three are very powerful.
Yeah.
Very good.
And last week when I came, the understanding of the thinking.
Very good.
The I, which is egoistic. So I'm able to very quickly put it down.
Oh, sadhu. Very
good. Because of the understanding.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good.
The other part of it, I also regularly think of, like some problem I see that needs to be fixed. But that part I don't quite understand. Is that part of...
I know.
I
understand your question. Very good, very good. Sadhu. You off the mic, push it out. Thank you so much. See? Sincere, good reporting, and good question. This is how... condition can arise for Dhamma to flow, for you all to understand better. And he's so new, you know. And he just listened attentively, then he just do. So now I got a few advice for him. Initially, the kaya nupasana one is very good. You realize that the bodily form, kaya, from the four posture and any of this bodily object of meditation, can anchor your mind to the present moment, then he realized he doesn't think so much. But when you are aware, you're just aware. Body and mind is one. Standing, aware. Walking, aware. Even turning, bending, stretching, or doing whatever, aware. When you are aware, you cannot think. So that's why he realized thinking slowed down a lot, which is very good. That's the purpose of kaya nupassana. Then the training of anchoring into the breathing or the rising and falling is a skillful means to stabilize this. But then, if you stabilize already, you cannot maintain this type of mindfulness in the midst of life. It's still no use. And the reason why they stabilize it is because they don't understand why their mind is like that. if they don't have an object of meditation to stabilize it, they find it very difficult to be peaceful, to be aware, to maintain awareness or attentiveness. Because split second, the mind wanders off. Even anapanasati, if you do it for the first time, split second, the awareness is no more there. Then in the midst of daily life, faster still, you realize you think a lot. You are lost in thought most of the time. Not until you can do kaya nupasana, anchor into the four posture, that all the activity connecting the four posture. That's why he has to do that. And don't be too eager to move into vedana nupasana, because what you are doing is more contemplative in nature, more thought based. Vedana nupasana, when your daily mindfulness is stable, after your kaya nupasana is stabilized, then only you can do the appropriate contemplation. That's why the teaching starts with kaya nupasana, anapanasati, to train the mind. Because the Buddha knew most people has the five hindrances. They cannot develop the mindfulness. So they have to somehow use some skillful means or object of meditation to stabilize it. And this is not explained to people. That's why people thought all of this so-called method, technique, or instruction to meditate constitute meditation. No. These are skillful means to train the mind, to anchor the mind, to stabilize the mind, to develop sati, mindfulness, awareness. And after anapanasati, the Buddha said, you're supposed to bring forth this trained state to develop the mindfulness of the four posture, which is part of your kaya. Then after that, only you can do the sati sampajana, means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action or movement in the present moment, means including the connecting activity of the four posture. Initially, during your conscious moment, then later into your sleep. That's how you start. Then when your daily mindfulness is stabilized, sati sampajana is stabilized, then your mind has this clarity. That means your spiritual faculty is already developed. Otherwise, you cannot do that. That's why those who forgot to cultivate the spiritual faculty through puja, through their daily religious routine to be mindful, the daily mindfulness, you cannot penetrate the Dhamma. Then those who are too eager to go direct into the contemplation of the four elements, the 32 part, the 9 stages of 7-3 contemplation, no point. Because if you do that without sati, it's all thought-based. You use thought to rationalize. Then sometimes they use concentration, jhana and all those things, to see the body going through the 9 stages of 7-3 decomposition and all those things. According to the teaching, it's very clear. The 5 daily contemplation teach you how to develop the initial contemplative understanding to deal with the first noble truth, reality of life and suffering. And that will bring us to his actual question towards the end. He said, when you confront daily life, you got problem. He find it very difficult to resolve that part, because the egoic mind is always there. There is an I and a me, and a problem that you need to resolve. And all these so-called problem of life is what the Buddha defined as the realities of life and existence under the First Noble Truth teaching. The Buddha said under this First Noble Truth is called the Noble Truth of Dukkha. He said there is a Noble Truth of Dukkha, which is suffering. But he never said life is suffering. Understand that? He said, this noble truth explains to you clearly the prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere when you don't have the wisdom. That's why it's called a noble truth of suffering. And he said, there are 8 conditions which can define all of the life situation or condition that you will encounter in life. If you live long enough, you will confront all these 8 conditions. which are the realities of life and existence. First of all, very simple, is it? You will experience birth, old age, sickness and death, if you live long enough. And these are reality. And when they arise, each and every living being has to confront. If you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, when you confront them with delusion, especially self-delusion, you will suffer. You will have problem. Because you believe this is you, form and mind. And you will worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. And because you cannot understand what this is, who you are, what you are. That's why if you hold on to it, grasp onto it, cling onto it through delusion, believing that this is you, then there is a personality, identity, and atta. And this atta, which is attached to this form, will have this fear, worry, anxiety, because it doesn't understand what death is. It doesn't know who died, what died. That's why fear of death is very, very strong. Then, not able to understand the reality of this form, when you experience old age sickness and pending death, there is so much suffering, so much fear, so much sorrow and lamentation, so much insecurity and unhappiness. Sometimes it leads to depression and all those things. And these are reality, the Buddha said. If you don't develop the understanding of his teaching, you will suffer. That's why the first five daily contemplation, the first three is to counter these four. Birth, old age, sickness and death. That's why the Buddha said you have to reflect every day. This body and mind of mine is of the nature to get old, to get sick and die one day. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. That these are elements only, not me. It goes the way of nature. It follows nature's law. Uttu niyama, binja niyama. When you have this understanding, you are able to accept that reality. Because each and every one of us, not only you in particular, are all subject to this reality. If everybody is subject to this reality of birth, old age, sickness and death, then why must you be different? Then you ask yourself, those who suffer is because of what? Those who didn't suffer is because of what? It's because they understand. They can accept this reality. They do not attach, they do not cling. That's what the teaching is all about. Then you tell yourself, if this is a reality, when I confront it, I have got two choices. First choice, deludedly grasp, cling, worry, panic, and become miserable, afflicted. And that's what normal people do. Deluded people do. Heedless people do. Buddhajana do. The second choice, make haste in cultivating this understanding. There's a strive on with heedfulness to develop this clear understanding so that I can confront this reality without delusion. So that I can accept this reality of the form and the mind. Yeah, this is not me, like the Buddha said. But I must insight into it, penetrate into it, realize it, and understand it so that I can live it as a living reality. And then his problem will be solved. Otherwise, it can never be solved. Only word only, aya, not me la, never mind la, don't attach la. But many of the Kaivitato we brought to, when they come to ourselves, experiencing all these things, then we cannot tell ourselves, aya, don't attach la, let go. When you are really in it, if you are not ready with the understanding, you have not reflected, contemplated, and developed the appropriate understanding before you confront them, the Buddha said, this is a noble truth of suffering. Suffering will arise. You cannot escape. Then the fifth condition is separation from loved ones, from all the things that you believe you own, your possession, your prized possession, your property, your wealth, your career, your title, your businesses, or whatever you hold on to dearly. And all this, the Buddha said, they are conditioned arising they never belong to you. Because even your own form and mind is not what you think it is. It is also condition arising. So how can a condition arising entity, which is dependent on condition, not a permanent unchanging entity, own anything, have anything? Where you yourself, when condition ceases to be, the whole identity is erased. That's why I like that show, Eraser. The moment they erase you from the national computer, you fail to exist. You lose your entire identity. Everything cannot go in. Bank account, everything cannot go in. And you cease to exist. Yeah. Identity erased. You lost everything. Yeah. So, this number two, which is very important. So separation can be very, very miserable, very traumatic. You don't have the wisdom, you don't have this teaching. So separation can happen in many ways, through death, accidental death, natural death, or nature's disaster, through tsunami, earthquake, flood, and all those things, even snatch thief, even car accident or airline crash accident, lost plane and all this thing. Nowadays, no more rare. Within 1 year, 3-4 planes can get lost. And all these are the realities of life and existence. Then separation can also happen when relationship failure leading to divorce, leading to separation of relationship. Then through nature's disaster or sometimes through what they call robbery and all those things, or economic crisis, you can also lose everything that you think you own. Overnight, no more yours. Like last time, Kuwait and Iraq, they fought the war. Then Iraq overnight went in and took over the whole country, the whole sovereignty of the country, including the central bank. And Kuwaiti government also lost. No more government. The citizen lost everything. Everything they think they own, no more. Including their oil reserve, their central bank, everything. See? Overnight condition no more. Cease to be. Like last time, you have a lot of this country that nationalized your wealth. Yeah. During the ancient day, communism, they said overnight the state say you don't own anything. They nationalize everything. And it happened in other country too. So this fifth reality can bring about a lot of suffering, very traumatic, if you don't have the wisdom to understand. Then the sixth one is when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, expectation in life not met. Then the seventh is when you are with people whom you don't like the bullies, difficult superior, your boss and all those things, or stepmother, stepparent, those who are not easy to have relationship with. All these are the realities of life and existence, the Buddha said. Then he summarized all this, the Buddha said. In short, it is due to your self-delusion, sakkayaditti, that condition you to believe this fire aggregate of form and mind is you, is what you are. That's why the five aggregates of grasping, the Buddha say, they are the cause of suffering. So the final summary is, you see, because of your self-delusion, sakkayaditti, you grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind. That's why he said the five grasping aggregate, upadana khandas, that is suffering. From that grasping, that personality, the egoic mind, craving arise, anasana. Craving can be positive and negative. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Whatever that go your way, you crave for it, positive craving. Whatever that you don't like, you don't want to happen, you reject it. There's aversion, there's anger, there's hatred, there's envy and jealousy. Then whatever you like, there is craving to own, possess. So all this leads to suffering. Because of sakayatiti, if there is nobody there, then there is no one to crave, no one to grasp, cling, no one to hold on to anything. Then you just understand that this form and mind is karmically conditional for you to use. And then use it. Because it's not you. You can use it and yet don't have to worry about getting old, getting sick and die. And you understand everything that arises and passes away is dependent originating, following nature's law, dependent origination. Then you realize, he no you, he no me. Everything is just the way it is. Then there is no more delusion. No more delusion means no more suffering. And that is what the teaching is all about. That's why you have to fix sakayatiti, self-delusion, the egoic mind. Yeah. And vipassana is to insight into the characteristics of nature, to see clearly that every phenomenon in this world, may it be physical, mental, or nature's phenomenon, they have these three universal characteristics of impermanence, leading to suffering when you deludedly grasp and cling. And because they are impermanent, the Buddha said it's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can hold on to, grasp onto, and cling onto, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. There is no such thing. That's why when you attach to this five griha of form and mind, the first aspect is as a human being. You have a physical body. The first aspect of form, rupa, the physical body. You attach to this, you suffer. Because you will worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Then you attach to the other aggregate of feeling, perception, activity of mind, and consciousness, you will also suffer. Feeling, you understand, when you have positive, negative craving, when your mind is not in equanimity, when there is no understanding, you will oscillate between the two, light and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, sense experience. Then there is always this sensual desire and ill will. The duality you always create because the mind cannot stand in the middle, in equanimity, to accept the reality of the moment, to accept the isness of thing, suchness of thing, the reality. Thing is just the way it is, but you cannot have the understanding. So that's why suffering will be the result when you fail to see all this. Then the second aspect is every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think, the Buddha said, within that consciousness that arises upon contact, that sense experience, may be seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. When they arise, the five aggregate of form and mind is also inside there. And that is the second aspect. And how does the form enter the mind? Because the content of consciousness only have the four aggregate of mind. Feeling, perception, activity of mind, means your views and your opinion, your mental states, and all those things that your mind can do, and the consciousness itself. Because your mind can be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So these four aggregate need the form to form the five aggregate. So the second aspect of rupa, form, comes from the perception that brings the external form into the mind. Whatever that you come to perceive is the external form. If you perceive the Buddha image, that image, external form, enters the mind. That's why there is a five aggregate of form in mind. That you perceive my voice. This voice, when you perceive it, it is a mental form that enters the mind. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought is the same. That's why there is also the five aggregate of form and mind. And this second aspect is what the Buddha is more interested in. That is taught in the dependent origination. The teacher Samuppada. So now you understand that the final conclusion of all the first noble truth reality, the Buddha said, in short, he can summarize it as the attachment to this five aggregate of form and mind that he calls suffering. Upadana kannas. Upadana is grasping. And they come from your self-delusion, sakkayaditi. You're attached to this, thinking that it's real, thinking that it's you. Even the five mental aggregates, the second aspect, is the same. You attach to your feeling, you suffer. You attach to what you perceive, you suffer. Because whatever you perceive, you can relate to as your loved ones, your possession, things that you either like or dislike, hold on to dearly or reject. So all this brings about suffering. Then sankhara is activity of mind, your views, your opinion, your mental thinking, activity, mental states. All of your wholesome and unwholesome state. So all this leads to suffering when you don't have the understanding. Because you attach to your views and opinion, you also encounter argument, conflict and all these things. Then when you attach to all the feeling, the emotion within you, the good meditation, the peace, or the restlessness of mind, the hindrances, it brings about suffering, unhappiness. Then whatever you become conscious of, you think is so real, the whole phenomenal world is like so real to you. That's why the Buddha said, consciousness, the analogy is like a magician. A magician is an illusionist that creates illusion for you to see. That's why they call it magic, but it's actually illusion. So when you cannot see that every moment of consciousness is just an illusion, like your perception is just like a mirage, then you will be deluded by it. Then suffering will arise. So understanding this essential teaching of the Buddha is very important. And from there, it will lead us to the answer of his question, which he asked. Let's take for example, any type of problem in life that you encounter. Can you give us whatever example that you confront where you cannot come to terms with? You just use the mic. Then from there, we will share.
I begin to understand that all the problems, they are just a matter of so attached to the thinking. My question is towards if my mind starts to think of problems that is not related to feeling.
Yeah.
If let's say I have a water leaking problem, and my mind starts to get attached to the problem rather than that feeling.
I know.
Then that one would it all be?
Yeah, it's suffering. It's the same because it's still sakkayaditti. Because you think you own that house. You think your house got water problem, leak. Or the parquet dry and polluted out. Because during rain you forgot to close the window. Then moisture went in. Then the heat comes, sunlight. Then the whole thing bulge. Or sometimes the maid not careful, doesn't understand. Your beautiful parquet, he just pour water. He thought like washing any towel. Wet the whole thing and clean and mop here. Then by that time, your wife come back from marketing. Panic like anything. Then the mind starts to react. Then the maid will kind of scolding like anything. Because he is from Ulu place, he doesn't know what pake is. To him, wash means wash. Just like you saw on the WhatsApp, the owner asked him to wash the car. He take the, what they call the pump gun, the pressure gun. The whole of the interior also he washed clean. Put soap everywhere. Then wash it clean. Because tuan cakap cuci, cuci lah. So that is what attachment will bring about. So all this come about through attachment. You think you own. If other people's house leak, doesn't affect you. The best analogy I always give is, let's say your neighbor one day bought a very nice car, beautiful car, which he liked a lot. Maybe a BMW or a Mercedes or something very nice, sports car. Then suddenly the wife reversed, accident, bang, pow. So what happened? If you are the neighbor, you saw, you laugh, you go in, tell your wife, hey, neighbor, sue. Why? But the neighbor who heard the pow, they come out. Oh, I tell you, if he attached to his car, the wife is dead, I tell you. Every type of funny words will come out. Why? Because he think he own. He bought it. He paid for it. He signed everything. He took a loan. Then, like in Hokkien, you say what? Sim tia. Why? Neighbor laugh. You, sim tia. What they fail to see is the reality. The reality is, if you don't take precaution, if you know all these are possible, then you, through your own negligence, you didn't prevent it. But in life, you cannot prevent everything unless you are very wise. Then you can avoid many, many things where you foresee the condition. You can experience them, you can sense them. You know it's coming. But then, like the Buddha said, if you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. So if you don't have all this negativity, all this suffering will not come to you. It will not happen. Then your life is so much more meaningful, so much more pleasant. Less and less of all this unnecessary karmic repercussion or karmic friction of the negativity of karma, because you have very little on them. So what you need to do is, whatever that happened is already a reality, Anasana. Reality means what? Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has explained. The Pancha Niyama, the five natures law that governs life and existence. And most of it is karmic related, because he asks you to contemplate the fifth contemplation every day. He said, we are all, without exception, born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. These are karmic reactions. You cannot run. That's why I used this word last time. 99.99% karmic. Only the 0.000%, they belong to the enlightened being. Because enlightened being, when karma arises, means the condition for it to arise, because they have wisdom, they have awakened, they are not deluded. So it will reverse. It will reverse. It will not afflict them at the mind level. That's why it will reverse. But if you don't have the understanding, you grasp and cling, then all cannot. Everybody will be subject to it. So if you cannot develop that understanding to accept that reality, then you got two choices, like I always say. React and become miserable. And that's what most people do, through delusion, through attachment, through clinging, through craving. You may say, it doesn't involve your emotion because it's not your loved one, that's not. But this one, why did you worry about the leak? Luckily, Sui An down there, the toilet, that basin, that so-called leak, after you close all, it still drip last time. Then later on, he found out, simple solution. Just don't close it too tight. No more leak. And then no more problem. Otherwise, you worry, ayo, kaya mita come on to use toilet, how? Pie say, drip and all, say, get plumber also cannot fix. Then suddenly understood, fix. Oh. Then everybody know how to use. Then it becomes no more issue or problem. Even God, you have to accept the reality. Because the reality is, it's like that. So, do what you can to resolve it. Via wisdom, without negativity, means following Noble Eightfold Path. First thing you have to do is to accept the reality of the moment. That's why I always advise you, whatever happens in life, you can do this, you will be very, very good. Don't get angry. Don't panic. And don't react. Cannot. Don't get angry. Don't panic. Don't react. Accept them for what they are. That is the reality. Come to terms with it. At peace with it first. Means what? If I don't react, I don't panic, I don't stir my mind, then I do not have fear, anasana. Then I'm at peace with the reality. Means I can accept whatever that happened. Yeah, this is the reality. It happened already. I cannot go against nature's law. If I want things my way, suffering will arise. Then I ask myself, what are my options? Like I say, got two choices. Deludedly worry about it, attach and become miserable, or scold. Or the negativity of action, speech and thought means no more noble if faux pas. You forgot your cultivation. No more heedfulness. You already lost your temper. And you think this is you. You think anger is you. You are doubly deluded. First, you think form and mind is you. Secondly, you think the anger is you, the fear is you. That's why you are doubly deluded. And how to come out of it when you have such shallow understanding? And all this cannot free you despite your years of vipassana, so-called thought-based meditation. It cannot bring about understanding and wisdom. Understanding and wisdom will only arise when you come to understand clearly this is not you. It's just condition arising, causal phenomena. It has the universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering the moment you grasp and cling, and when you want things your way. Thing is just the way it is. We are nature's law like that. Things will be like that. Causes and conditions like that. Things will be like that. So when you come to terms with that reality, it means you accept whatever that arises. It means you are at peace. You don't get angry. You don't panic. You don't react. You don't blame also. Understand? Means there is clarity. When you are at peace, there is clarity. Here your mind doesn't stir. You are not deluded. There is no sakayadity. There is just understanding. What is the reality? Suchness, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. I accept. Then I do what I have to do. If it's something karmic, I need to ask for forgiveness. I ask for forgiveness. Then I repent not to repeat all this. Because these are karmic negativity that brings about evil root through delusion. And if I act out of it, this form of mind will create more negativity or karma. Then the karmic nature will fall, suffer. Every life you come, you become miserable. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, then you better follow the advice of the Buddha. Strive on with heedfulness. Avoid all evil. Keep your precept. Cultivate noble eightfold path to cultivate whatever wholesomeness of action, speech and thought. The first one is when you accept through all this understanding, which is the Dhamma, you have right view. Right view with regards to law of karma. Then right view with regards to how you function as a human being. How your mind function and operate based on dependent origination. Then the third right view is to understand the Four Noble Truths, which is the reality of life and existence, the cause of suffering. Then there is a third noble truth that tells you suffering need not be when you develop the wisdom. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Or then the fourth noble truth tells you there is a way out of suffering. If you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And this is the meditation. That's why it's all so easy if all in the place. Then when you understand the first noble truth, well, these are reality of life and existence. Like I say, not only you subject to old age, sickness and death, to all this reality, everybody is subject to the whole world. So you are not the only one who has miserable disease or whatever, or traumatic disease like cancer and other things. It's so common nowadays, understand? But those who suffer are the deluded ones who don't understand, who don't attend to it and move on. These are the people who worry about life. Understand? Panic, emotional, fearful. All this is not going to help you. Understand? No amount of fear, worry, anxiety and panic reaction can help you. You can only seek a solution when you can accept this reality, be at peace with it. Then with the clarity of mind, ask yourself, what are my options? And then you write down on a piece of paper, understand? Let's say traumatic disease. Yeah? Then you tell yourself, what can I do? First, seek second opinion, because get another doctor to confirm. If result come out same, then accept the reality, because you have seek a second opinion and confirm. Then you tell yourself, now that this is a reality, let's say cancer, terminal, fourth stage, what am I supposed to do? If I worry about it, does it help? If I project my thought, does it help? All this will not help. The reality is, this is something that I confirm. Then I check with the doctor. What is your advice? Understand? Then he, of course, recommend, depending on what type of doctor. If he is always looking at the agong phase, which is the money, then he say you have to go through chemo and all those things. Then he will advise you. Then he will tell you the bill. I just got one classmate that told me, he came to see me last week, and I pity him, because he was an old schoolmate from Alastair, quite a good friend, close friend. Then recently he came back. I think he worked in UK for many years, then Singapore, then he came back, retired. And he met me and caught up with me many years back. Then he came to know a very good investment. Then he came and see me and he invested and he made quite a lot of money. Then I thought he came because he need money. True enough, he said, I may need money. I said, why? May need money. Then only he told me. But he has some form of very good understanding of truth and the Dhamma. Yeah. He said, my son, 24 years old, he has lymphoma. And the Buddha recommended, the doctor recommended chemotherapy. Oh, I say, Lana, how much? He said, the doctor say 100,000, get ready. Otherwise, they cannot start the chemo, and all those things. So I say, never mind, just let me know. He said, yeah, I will let you know. You say, just one chemo. You're talking about 100,000 now. And it's not easy to have 100,000 now if you are not successful in life. So all this can be very, very traumatic. But at least he accepts the reality. He said, whatever happened, happened. Then, of course, the usual advice is second opinion or something. He said, yeah, here, check it out. Then the other thing is, you can check with people who have got the same problem and recover, understand? Then you can also check the internet or ask your friend or send your whatever SOS out so that people can give you advice. Nowadays, the internet, they have many, but you have to screen them. So there are also what they call traditional approach to all this type of disease. Understand? Then I was told by somebody, I forgot who already, one of Kayanamita, he just told me, I must remember who, otherwise I cannot get her to, I think it's a her, to help my this friend. I supposed to call my this friend. He say, she, I think, got a friend, relative, I think, friend's relative or don't know what, who also have lymphoma, went to China, seek the treatment, both traditional and Western, and recover. Almost 5 years already, no problem. No. So I say that's good news. You all know who or not? I cannot remember. He just spoke to me 2 days ago. Who was it? Oh, you are. Baba Sri, now very easy. Now I can ask her to check and give me the contact or the phone number. Then I ask him to call. But he also used to go to China and walked the Great Wall of China for 6 years already. 3 years to interact with him. And he's a very nice classmate, very jovial. So he is not attached, and he is not like other people. He still organized classmate, what they call, because we got a lot of classmates who overseas come back. So every time they fix on the wrong day, either Tuesday or Thursday, I don't know why. So Tuesday I got meditation class, so they just had the recent one. So I couldn't make it. So anyway, I will call him and pass him the message. Let's see whether he wants to give it a try or not. You have to check out how much it costs also. May not be cheap. Oh, SS2, the doctor there. Oh, okay, can. Whatever, advise him. Okay, good. I will let him know. So, if you have the Dhamma, the understanding, you don't have to panic. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be so paranoid. You can just come to terms with that reality. That's why I go back and right now. Whatever happened in life, rule number one, what is it? Don't panic. Don't go and worry. Then, don't become emotional. You have to accept that reality. Listen attentively. Then tell whatever person who tell you, don't worry, okay. Give me the detail, the fact. Then write it down. Then ask yourself, what are my options? Well, when you have clarity, when you do not react and stir your mind, when you don't project, you don't panic, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no panic, you become peaceful. When you are peaceful, there is clarity. Then you just ask yourself simple question. What are my options? What can I do? How can I resolve this so-called problem? If you don't perceive it with negativity, there is no problem. If you perceive it with wholesomeness, blessing in disguise, then it will turn around. There is no such thing as a problem, if you understand. All these are only life experiences, reality. After all, not surreal. He know you, he know me. No one die. Nothing die. Essentially, there is no birth, no old age, sickness and death. But that pertains to the form and mind, which is the phenomena. It's never you. That's why he know you, he know me. That Heart Sutta say, no one born, no one die, no one sick, no one old. There is no attainment to. No vulnerable truth, nothing. But that refers to ultimate truth, ultimate reality, penetration of profound emptiness, true emptiness. But the condition, arising world, existential world, all this exists. There is such thing as old age, sickness and death, birth. But that pertains to the 5 degrees of form and mind. And this one, under ultimate understanding, the teaching, is not you. That's why you can free. That's why the Buddha solved his problem. You remember he left the palace? Why? He saw the 4 signs. The first 3 create a very strong impact on him. Because when the attendant told him, this is an old man, he saw that person so fragile, so old, so sick, so miserable. Then later on, he saw a dead man. He said, what is dead man? He said, everybody who live must die one day. Then he said, all of the happiness that the father has given him got no more meaning. Because ultimately, he has a problem he cannot resolve. He has to go through old age, sickness, and death. He cannot escape. Then he meditated, cultivate for 6 years. Then on that fateful night, underneath the Bodhi tree, when he became fully enlightened, he just realized one thing, that this form of mind, it was never him. That's why his problem all solved. No more old age, sickness and death problem, because that doesn't pertain to him. It's the form of mind. That's why he told Ananda, this form in mind is like a worn-out block. I have used it for the benefit of the many. Why do you want me to continue on such a worn-out block? No point. Use it while we can serve you well. Then when it's time to relinquish, understand it. Don't cling, don't hold, don't be deluded by it. That understanding, that wisdom is true liberation. And you have to cultivate until that understanding is part of your nature. The form and mind has to insight and awaken to it through the direct seeing connection to the true mind. Unless you have that type of cultivation, chances are it's all thought-based knowledge, not the true awakening and understanding. So, to solve your problem is very easy. When you accept the reality, when you are at peace, when you don't react, blame, or panic, or do any other funny thing, then you can ask yourself, what are my options? And it's very simple. There are two. One, react, become miserable. The other one, develop the right view to accept the reality that I act with understanding. I act with wisdom. I act with noble eightfold path. That's why I'm incapable of negativity. I don't create karma. I resolve everything amicably. That's that. Two, right speech. Talk to people nicely. Seek advice nicely. Then do the appropriate reaction. Need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. Need to repent, repent. Need to vow not to repeat this again, vow. Then need to develop merits, cultivate wholesomeness. Develop more and more merits and blessing and make aspiration for causes and conditions for you to overcome all this problem. For the former mind to recover the good mind state. For your loved one to recover the good mind state. All these are possible through nature's law. And this is what I always share with you all. And it's so easy. Then you are not deluded by what happened. After all, it's not so real. All condition arising entity, form and mind, even the children. You may think you give birth. You are the parent. So what? Karma-wise, they recognize you have to do your duty. Sure enough. But they are like you, condition arising entity. No reality. That's why in ultimate truth, even the Diamond Sutta say, ultimately the Bodhisattva will understand when they undertake the vow to save limitless living beings. Towards the end, they realize they never save any living being. Where there is no living being to be saved. Because when you also don't exist. That's why the Dhamma of suchness, no mark. There is no mark of a self, a personality, anasana, of living being to save. There is no mark of any Dhamma, because all these are within the conditioned world. That's why the conditioned world, they have this mark. That's why the mind will have dwelling when you hold on to mark, when you think you are real, when you think they are living being. And when you cling and cross to the five aggregate of form and mind, especially the mental, the egoic mind, the center from which living beings act and respond. That's why they have the observer and the observed, the thinker and the thought, the meditator, the experienced thing. That's why there's the experiencer, there is a cultivator, there's a meditator, and they want to do good, they want to cultivate good. They want to practice meditation. So all these are delusion. When you meditate with the silent mind, you understand it's not you. Everything is condition arising, causal phenomenal, karmically conditioned out. Then you see clearly how that mind functions. Then you will be able to put to test, like what the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see. There is no observer and the observer. The observer and the observer is one. body and mind is one. It's not separated. That's why that sakkayaditti is from the mundane mind. The conditioned arising mind, the thinking mind, the deluded mind, that has sakkayaditti, self-delusion. The true mind got none of this. That's why that true mind, no problem. It doesn't think. Doesn't think means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, nothing. It don't have words and concept. It's just silence, stillness, peace, tranquility. That is the best state to be in. That's why no more becoming. All of becoming is suffering. Becoming means what? Want to be something. Even wanting to be an arahant is a craving. Wanting to be enlightened is a craving. Who want? The thought want. That's why unless that center sees the self, like Krishnamurti quote, you can never penetrate the true Dhamma. Okay? So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. We should thank Brother Chan for the good question. Wow, so quick, huh? 4 more minutes, huh? So you got any more question? Otherwise, I have a drink. You prepare your question. While waiting for your question, I go to the washroom. I drink too much water and tea today. Okay, you got any more questions or anything to report? Oh, don't have. That is the best. Then we can end our puja. We will chant what they call closing puja. We can develop the sharing of merits with the devas. Okay, sharing our merits with the devas. Akka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva charang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Ittavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan appe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Itang minya tinang ho tu hontunya tayo. Itang minya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tayo. Itang minya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will evoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. You make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of all these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened ones until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end. Yeah, gathering of Kayanamita. This coming Sunday. Oh, next Sunday, sorry. Next Sunday. Lunch, not dinner. So those who haven't paid up also, you all can text either Sui An or Stephanie or any of the Kayanamita to help you to pay the $100. This is an occasion where you can come together for fellowship once a year. It's a gathering of Kayanamita come. Of course, they want to celebrate my birthday. Then there's this expression of joy, gratitude, sincerity, and all those things. So you can express them while you are there. Then you can also, as Kayanamita, develop the fellowship in a very Dhamma way, so that you can help each other to walk the path of Dhamma. There can be a lot of fellowship. then you get to know each other better too, right? All the various Tuesday class, Thursday class, and Sunday class. Then also you can help to motivate, support, and counsel each other to walk the path of Dhamma, so that those who have the Dhamma can also help those who are walking the path. Mm. Okay, yeah.
Then in this time they are paying me a ringgit, so I've been swapping money with people. We used to go to the Anand Library.
I'm going to take it. Thank you. many of you seen Kelly this weekend? But yeah, seen that. After, I want to pass this something. This week. If you close the gate, I can get the public car. So you say you don't thank me, thank him.
Okay, see you. Okay, bye.
Good, ma'am. How do you want to keep? Morning,
morning,
morning, lunch,